Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Murder Moses. I'm Day.
And I'm Ree. Sorry, guys.
And I'm Ruby. Well,
we're all here, y'all. We're all here.
The gang's all here.
Oh, Lord. What are y'all drinking?
Stella. It's my last glass. It's the last from that bottle.
Oh.
What are you drinking, Ruby?
I'm still pouring up this cherry vanilla Coke.
Pour it up, pour it up.
So good.
I have water too. Still turning over a new leaf.
Hydrated queen.
I swear I'm not pregnant again, because I feel like when I was pregnant, I was like, yeah, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and not drink. But like, I'm really just trying not to drink that much.
I feel like now that I'm married, I just had
a deja vu moment of that.
I know. I feel like I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. Drink water. I think the last like 4 episodes, I haven't drank alcohol.
Ruby, do you need to tell us something?
No, absolutely the fact not.
Just making sure. Anything interesting happened this week, y'all?
I ran into my neighbor on the stairs.
Oh.
The cursing, angry neighbor.
How did that
happen? Oh.
So I'm coming up the stairs. He's coming down the stairs, and he was throwing trash.
Is it the one that's like, what the fuck up?
Yeah, that guy. So he's just like throwing trash on the ground, and he sees me. He goes, hey, what's up? He goes, let me go ahead and pick up that litter. I didn't expect to be seen. Yeah, you probably didn't expect to be heard either, but whatever. He seems to be a great dad, though.
Oh, they got kids?
Yeah.
They have kids?
Yeah. And he's like, he's also handsome.
Wow. Don't let that fool you.
Oh,
you've heard him.
It's not fooling me. It's not fooling me. I'm just, why are you that crazy?
I'm shook that they have kids.
This is a new development.
Yeah, I think he has.
Because now I feel sad.
And then some with someone else. But he was outside just having a grand old time with the kids and like playing with them and like just having a great time. And I was like, you be acting a damn donkey up in your fucking apartment. So.
Didn't you say they be arguing during the day? So do they be arguing while the kids are at school?
So I think that's what it is. I think the kids be at school because he wilding. It's like he can't wait till they go to school either, because it'd be 7 a.m. and he'd be like, fuck you with your stupid ass. It's like he can't wait. It's like he probably be in the bed rocking. Wake up in the morning when they go to school and just fucking unleashes. God damn. That's
so bad.
Well, I mean, at least it's not in front of the kids, but like
I wanted to get a motherfucker a card to better health, whatever that shit is. I wanted to be like, here.
You should hand him something.
You need anger management, brother.
Something. Oh wow. Oh. You gotta keep updating us on these people. Did that one couple they moved? Did they get kicked out?
She was moving stuff. So I don't know if she was moving his stuff out so that, you know, he can't come back. Because I wouldn't be surprised if the police didn't say, look, girl, we tired of coming up here. So either he got to go or you got to go, but somebody got to go. Because we're not coming back over here no more. So somebody was moving because they had a truck pulled up to the garage and they were packing stuff in it. So somebody left.
Ruby, you have anything interesting happen?
I don't think so. My birthday's coming up. I think that's the thing. It's on a fucking Wednesday.
Lucky you.
I think my birthday's on a Wednesday too.
Hump day.
But you're still older than me though.
Thank you. For putting that
I'm the youngest on this podcast. You know. Let it be known. It's only by like what, 6 months? 6-7 months.
But yeah, 6 months.
Whatever. It's fine. still the youngest. Are you sorry? You remember how when we were growing up, I'm the oldest. I'm not. Nope. I'm the youngest. I'm gonna be the youngest. I don't know if anything happened to me. Oh, I got a new wedding ring.
Yes, you did.
It is gorgeous.
I got a new wedding ring. I don't have it on right now, but
upgrade.
Yeah, my husband pissed me off one day.
It's a good song.
My husband pissed me off a couple weeks ago. And so I was like, you know what? I think it's time for an upgrade. And that he did.
That he did.
But he said, I can't get another ring for a while.
But well, I mean, that's a good one.
That is a good
that's
one.
That's a good one. You should definitely not get one for a little bit. That's a nice one.
Yeah, it was on sale, so definitely didn't pay the full price of it, but paid we didn't even pay half of what it cost out of pocket, because we traded in my old ring, and so that went towards the cost of it, and then he just had to pay the difference in what the sale price was. You know me, always out trying to save a buck
for a deal.
Deals in a steal. I told him, I said, you're lucky that the one that was on sale was my favorite. You're very lucky, because I tried on like 12 rings.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
I tried on about 12.
Damn.
I used to be a real like princess cut person. That's what my other ring was, which I really like my other ring, but I was trying on the princess cut, and I was like, maybe I was a child, you know? I didn't grow up enough before I got
our taste buds change.
Change. Because, like, everything I was trying on, she was like, oh, you're really liking that shape. And just in case, you know, anybody's out there in the market to get engaged, if you go to K Jewelers, you can set up a wish list. They will size your ring, set up a whole profile for you, so that if said future fiance goes and tries to buy a ring, they can look up and see what rings you've already tried on and what you like. So,
fun, very smart and fun, because
helpful tips
that keeps them from fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a thing.
That's a pretty dope thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Helpful.
Yeah, all he has to do is like give your name. But Chad already had an account, so I just put it all under his. I was like, you can just put it on his so he knows.
It's easier for him to find,
because he's not gonna know my email, but he'll know his own. So it worked out. So, well, he ended up going with me to get it, but you know, my husband works retail, and he is probably the most annoying person ever. Sheree rushing me. I was trying to finish my sentence.
No, I didn't hear it. It was just blank. Oh. It was no sound. And I was like,
I was about to say, did she say I'll go first?
No, she said,
who's going first?
Was like completely, I was silent. Like, dang, I was just trying to finish my sentence, and I was going to ask who wanted to go first.
It was completely silent. I was like, oh, I know these motherfuckers did not just pause for no cause.
No.
Damn, me and Ruby was having a conversation here.
It completely paused.
You go ahead, like, and go first then. Damn.
You was just blank face and everything. It was paused and everything. Like, nothing was coming out of your mouth. All I saw was Ruby's head. So I was like, nobody's talking.
Oh my god. No, you go first, Ruby. We're done.
You go ahead, go first. You go first. We're done talking. Don't worry. Let me mute.
Let us. We'll go back. We'll be in the background.
Sorry, guys. Jesus Christ. All right. Okay. Maybe Dale finish her story next week. I don't know.
Nope. The moment's gone. Okay. The moment is gone.
My face hurts. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, guys. Jesus. I don't know what I'm gonna make it through now. Gary Sampson. Nobody did him right. He was born in Massachusetts. Anyway.
No, wait, what is the name? Are you just threatening me?
Gary Sampson. No way nobody did this shit. No fucking way. right. I hope not. I think so. All right, but seriously, he was born in Massachusetts, and he was diagnosed with dyslexia as a child, but for some weird reason, they denied him. It's not a weird reason. They denied him of being in special ed classes because he was so smart. Which I don't know why you would equate dyslexia with being dumb, but okay. But I guess this is so long, you know, this is so long ago, probably like in the 60s. Anyway, he ended up dropping out of school in the 9th grade, smart as he was. He had his parents, like, you know, his dad was a firefighter. He was an ice cream truck driver and a salesman. Listen, daddy worked, okay? Daddy had jobs. He would claim that his dad, you know, called him retarded and, like, physically abused him. His lawyers afterwards claimed that when he was 4, that he fell and hit his head, which caused a brain injury. And this is something that I've heard with a few serial killers. Like, I don't know, they have brain injuries as children and then knock something off kilter. And as a teen, he was arrested often. He would, like, rob banks and stuff. The sheriff from Davidson County, North Carolina, he said that Gary used to live with cross-dressers and transvestites. This is what the sheriff is saying. I don't know if transvestites is a proper word anymore, but this is the wording of the sheriff. And he had learned to do elaborate makeup from them. Gotta say, I'm a little jelly because I watched 4,922 damn YouTube videos and can barely put on lip gloss, but you know what, whatever. So
I feel the same way. I'm like, damn, I can't do shit.
I can't even fucking put on eyeliner. Get me out of here. he learned how to, like, manipulate the makeup to change his face, like, really well. In 2003, he got married, and he was 17, ended up going to jail right after he got out, got the young lady pregnant, moved, divorced that lady, married another lady, moved, divorced that lady, and married a man. And then him and the man that he married, Ricky, they would get into arguments often. And Ricky said that he just had, like, a super bad temper. So Ricky was like, you ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get the fuck up out of here. So Ricky put him out, and Gary went and met another woman in April 2001. He married Karen Anderson. And I'm not sure if he married her, but he wooed her and booed her up. And he kept trying to get her to assist with his robberies. And she was like, you know, I'm kind of cool on that. We'll probably get caught and I'm not in the mood to go to jail. But, you know, do what you do. So he started his little bank robbery spree. He ended up robbing 5 banks in 3 months. Like, that's a lot, because you really should take a break in between your robberies. Like, people, because you have to, like, stake out the place. Like, there's a lot of shit you gotta do to rob a bank. But I guess he was like, shit, I ain't got the time. So I'm wondering how much money he was getting from the banks that he had to go 5 times in 3 months.
I feel like he wasn't getting too much,
right? He must be getting like $500 every time. Barely enough to pay rent. Holding them over.
Like, let me borrow $20 till Thursday. What?
That's when I'm gonna rob another bank. So Thursday, I got you. Weirdo. So July 2001 is where he got out of control. He carjacked and murdered 3 people. Philip McCloskey was 69 of Massachusetts. Jonathan Rizzo, 19 of Massachusetts. And Robert Whitney, 58 years old. So the murders took course over a week. Mr. McCloskey picked him up hitchhiking. I didn't even know people were still picking up hitchhikers in 2001. But Mr. McCloskey was doing a good deed. Saw Gary on the with his thumb out, picked him up, and he forced him at knife point to drive to a secluded area. He tied him up with a belt, stabbed him 24 times. He wound up doing the same thing to Jonathan Rizzo, the 19-year-old, took him to a secluded area, tied him to a tree, gagged him, killed him. So I guess he had tried to surrender to the police before he started the killings. I guess he was trying to surrender for the bank robberies or whatever. This is wild. So it shows him, Gary, calling the FBI. He would have been taken into custody if they would have came and picked him up. But the call was accidentally disconnected by the FBI clerk. So he didn't get to tell anybody. So after the murders, he broke into, I don't know, he broke into a house in Vermont, I guess trying to like hide out or whatever. And he ended up confessing to the murders and he pled guilty. He didn't waste no time, play no games. He was charged in federal court in Boston. They found him guilty December 23rd, 2003. They sentenced him to death. So he pleaded guilty. So because the jury couldn't decide whether he killed McCloskey and Rizzo, but the juries heard the murders described in graphic detail during the sentencing phase. So they just was like, you know, he was trash. He preyed on these people being nice to him. They were trying to give him a ride and he paid them back with death. I guess they don't have a death penalty anymore in Massachusetts. And it was last used in like 1947. So it was the first time anyone in Massachusetts had been sentenced to die under the federal death penalty law. They set it up, got him together, had him on death row, and then of course, what did he do?
He died.
Appealed.
Oh.
Oh, he appealed. but didn't work. as of May 2015, he's been sitting on death row, and then he tried to appeal again. And he was sentenced to death again on January 9th because what happened is one of the jurors, I guess, was tainted, they said. So they gave him a new trial and his ass got sentenced to death again. So didn't really
imagine getting sentenced to death multiple times. Like not even just once, but like, no. We like want to make for sure that, you know, like we want you gone. Totally.
Yeah, because that was rude. Like, you just kill people trying to give your little whole ass a ride. Your little, then the fact that you ain't have a car and you didn't fucking rob 40 banks.
Right.
Man. Super bomb.
I still don't understand why these people get to appeals 1,000 times though, and then they just sit on death row for fucking ever. Just
yeah, they should take that out of whatever law that is. They should take that shit right. Don't give some people are not guilty, so I guess you got to give them time to show the evidence.
With stuff like that, why is he sitting there?
If you got the evidence and they say, yeah, I did it. Go ahead and, you know, give him a little poke.
Or he just need to be like, can we set the date? Come on now, let's do this.
I think people will be less prone to do these murders if the death was different. If it was like a torture or like, you know, like they somebody took a potato peeler and like something. You know, I think people would be like, whoa, nah, you know what? Killing ain't my thing today.
So you're saying like, okay, like in the medieval times, like the stretcher, yeah, and then there was like the that. Ones. There was the ones where they would put like rats in a, like a basket, yep. And literally like attach it to you, yep. And the rats would literally just eat through you.
Yeah. Or they would like, you know, tie you to a horse or a tree or whatever and slap the horse on the butt and let the horse take off and tear your body apart. That type of shit would deter.
Come people. On, America. We need to bring it back.
I wouldn't even.
Death penalty's not enough anymore.
Right. Imagine if they was like, if you get caught stealing the hand, whole fucking hand. Out of here, buddy.
I don't know about that. I think we're going in. I think they do that in some countries, though.
They do. Like, and I bet motherfuckers ain't stealing that often. But they gotta do something. They gotta do something. People just be killing because they know, you know, if I kill somebody that I'm just about to get free room and board, I'm gonna get some food. It ain't gonna taste that good, but it's
three hots and a cot.
And I don't gotta, and if you a man with kids, you like shit, I don't even gotta pay child support in here.
Your move, Biden. Your move.
Somebody gotta do something. Something gotta change.
Just know if Ree or I become president.
If you motherfuckers is going down.
Our first act as president would be to I can't even like finish that.
I wish everybody could see my face while y'all were going back and
forth. Like, okay. Like,
when she said potato peeler, I was like, oh, that. And then y'all just kept fucking going.
Day's like, remember that one time when I said I hope my friends would never kill me? Here we are.
They're plotting right now. They're plotting.
What's worse is we're plotting to be the president at the same time.
with these type of thoughts. Taking over Joe Biden's spot.
Oh, God.
Sleepy Joe.
Y'all pray for them. Pray for me. Shit. Some of that shit, like, especially the potato peel. I'm stuck on that because
that one.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know where I got it from, but I think it's because of other... I was doing potatoes the other day and I was like, God damn, because I kind of like scraped my finger. I was like, shit me. Like, I had to stop and take a pause.
That's like, happened to me. I've almost like nicked my finger and I swore I took my like the whole top layer of my skin off, but I didn't.
I'm a professional potato peeler. I remember one time Ree was at my house. I forgot what we're doing. I think it was when we were first trying to like start our podcast and stuff. And I was like, oh, let me peel these potatoes real quick. So I'm over there just. She's like, you did that shit quick.
You've always been good at that.
We eat a lot of potatoes in my house. So
Rice gang.
I do like rice.
We eat a lot of potatoes over here. Ruby, do you want to go next?
Sure. Here we go.
I'm surprised.
What's that? I don't know if they're gonna be like, I'll go next. But now I got it. So I just have a picture to show you. I feel really bad. Okay. So we're going to talk about the murder of Angela Wrightson, and it was called the Snapchat murder.
Oh, so this is recent.
We're going over to England. Hello, Jordan.
Why did I assume it was the United States? Would it be in Snapchat?
Me too.
They do have it in other countries, yes.
I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying. Like,
so I'm going to show you a pic. No, I'm going to wait.
Well, now I got to see.
I'm going to wait. Okay.
What you about to show us?
No. Hold on. You'll get it in a second. So 39. Okay. 39-year-old. I'm repeating that for a reason. Angela Wrightson was a vulnerable woman living in Hartlepool, County Jordan. I'm so sorry.
Jordan is
England.
Upset already.
Jordan, I'm so sorry.
I would be upset too.
I'm what? Pissed, maybe if I say it with livid. An accent. What the? Whatever. Anyways, so in England, when she was attacked and murdered inside her own home. By two teenage girls. So Angela was plagued with her own demons and struggles to to quit alcohol addiction. She actually was known locally as Alco Ange, which is which is so fucked. Like, it's so like, but due to her dependency on alcohol, Angela looked far older than her 39 Alco years.
How old did you say she was?
I repeated it three times for
say it one more time because I think you lied.
39.
Hold the phone, Tyrone.
Beer in the hand. Yeah.
Oh, alcohol.
Excuse me. I have to pour out this wine. Excuse me. I'll be right fucking back.
It's like really, it's really, really sad though. She weighed, okay, so I don't know if maybe like someone from England wrote this because it says she weighed less than 6 stone.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And I'm like, and I definitely didn't look up to see. I don't know how many pounds it is.
6 stones.
Google it.
Hold it. 6 stone.
That was like, but at first I'm reading that, I'm like, 6 pounds? I'm like, she can't, like. No, but yeah, so 6 stone. But she was so frail that she needed multiple layers to keep herself warm. Jesus. What?
It's 84 pounds.
Oh, holy my gosh.
Did it say how tall she was?
No.
She looked kind of small in her
picture. Sheesh.
Yeah. But yeah, so really, really sad. I feel really bad for Angela. Yeah. Damn.
You should have told me that.
Well, I'm sorry. It's part of the story. So her alcohol dependency had gotten worse after the death of her boyfriend, who had died from an alcohol-related incident. So it wasn't good. But despite her issues, she was very well liked within the community. She did her best to help out anybody who's in need. She often gave candy and chocolate to children and would feed the local dogs and offer refuge for a number of strays. She kept her home meticulously clean and tidy. So even though she like dealt with all that, like she was a super clean and tidy. According to her friends, she was desperate to turn her life around, but struggled because of how hard alcohol addiction is and just that whole cycle. So a number of teenagers in the area would take advantage of Angela's kindness and vulnerability and would pressure her into buying them alcohol and cigarettes and let them drink in her home. Some friends would say that that loneliness caused Angela to, you know, be very lenient and with the teenagers and be like, hey, like, be my friend, allowing them to use her home as a drinking spot, just so she would have someone to talk to. They said they preyed on her because she was too kind-hearted to turn them away. They wanted her for the alcohol, which they would steal from her. And if she refused them, they would turn nasty. On December 8th, 2014, two of these teenagers showed up at Angela's home and ordered her to purchase them cigarettes and cider. The two teenage girls were both in care at the time. The older one was in local authority care, while the younger one was placed with a foster family. They had both come from troubled backgrounds, with the older one being a regular drug user from the age of 11. The older girl was one of 4 children, and kind of like some background with them, grew up with, you know, really hard times. The young girl, she had witnessed like her mother being stabbed and like a domestic fight. By the time she hit high school, she was taking morphine, Valium, Tramadol, codeine, drinking alcohol. And some of it was her own mom's before she was taken out and placed in with a foster family. The younger girl, who was said to be the less aggressive of the two, but the more dominant one, was placed into foster care when her mother struggled to control her. One social worker said that she had a vulnerable side and could be cheerful and polite, but only when it suited her. Despite this, she had problems with authority and was difficult to control while in school. After Angela complied to the girls' wishes and purchased some cigarettes and cider, they unleashed an extremely brutal and sustained attack on the vulnerable woman in her own home. So the two girls had used a plethora of objects to beat Angela with, including a shovel, a wooden stick with screws in it, a computer printer, and a coffee table.
She was 87 pounds.
Yeah. She had been struck by the two girls in 12 separate locations within the living room. At one point during the attack, the two girls posted photographs and videos mocking Angela. So, like, we're just posting them on Snapchat. She could be seen in the photographs with bruising to her face, indicating that they were taken as the attack was unfolding, as opposed to before. When finished, the girls left Angela's home and called police and asked for a lift home. They had assumed that they would be reported missing, which they were, and assumed that the police would be looking for them. When the police picked the two girls up, they posted a selfie from inside the police van with the caption, "In the back of the busy van again." And they had left Angela to bleed to death. So Angela's naked, bloody body would be found on the sofa at approximately 8:45 a.m. the following morning by her landlord. She had over 100 injuries inflicted on her body. Glass and gravel were strewn over her genitals, and ash from burnt paper was discovered inside her ear. Like, what the, like, what? So, due to the young ages of the two killers, they would not be named for legal reasons, but they would be ordered to stand trial for the murder. During the opening statements, Nicholas Campbell took the jury through the injuries that had been inflicted on Angela. He listed the items that Angela had been beaten with, which were smaller items such as a kettle, a metal pan were used together with the glass vase and other ornaments. The prosecution would state that the level of violence the two girls had inflicted on Angela was hard to imagine, adding that, like, the fear and pain of the last few hours of her life were probably awful. Cause I mean, they just, like, left her to bleed to death, just like there. So the court would hear that the two girls had what was described as a very intense relationship. Many said that they would be quite sweet while alone, but once they were together, it was like all hell breaking loose. One friend would testify that she had a Facebook conversation on the night of the incident in which she heard the younger girl say, "Go on, names older defendant, smash her head in, bray her, fucking kill her." The witness testified she then heard laughter in the background. So during the trial, the two girls accepted that they were present at the time the injuries were inflicted on Angela, but both denied that they had murdered her. The older girl said that she had hit Angela, but only admitted to a charge of manslaughter. She would state, "Angela was sitting on the couch and," named younger girl, "was saying to knock her out. So I kicked her." The named younger girl said, "Fucking hell, isn't she knocked out yet? She had sat back down and was on her phone while she was telling me to do it." So after the 7-week trial, the two girls were found guilty of the murder. As the verdict was read aloud, both girls broke down into tears.
Oh, don't cry now.
Right?
What the fuck are you crying for?
Yeah. So they would both be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 15 years. Following this, I was like, oh, no, don't do the whole parole thing. So following the sentencing phase, a series of independent reviews and how local agencies had handled the victim as well as the killers were launched. They would find that care home staff could not lock doors to prevent the older girl from running away to meet up with the younger girl before the murder. It also found that despite the girl's antisocial behavior and troubled backgrounds, care agencies could not have anticipated the level of violence they were capable of. According to the review, the parents of both girls blamed them for their bad behavior instead of accepting any failures in how they brought the children up. But, you know, that's how it usually goes. Both girls had been, you know, abused, neglected, and had a bunch of, like, trauma that they hadn't worked through at all.
I'm not accepting that. I am not either.
I know. So moreover, 2 months before the murder, the older girl was living in a care home and had been arrested for assaulting 3 members of staff and causing damage. Then 4 weeks before the murder, she was giving a warning from police for attacking members of the staff. The review also found that in the 2 years before Angela's murder, there were over 1,000 recorded contacts between her and mental health, alcohol, ambulance, and hospital services. In addition to her alcoholism, Angela had suffered from mental health issues and she had dependency on the alcohol. But despite this, she had not received any help since 2011. So they're all looking at all of these things like this probably could have been prevented if someone was doing something more for these people. In 2021, it was ruled by the High Court that the identities of the two killers would remain a secret for the rest of their lives. The judge granted them permanent injunctions preventing them from being identified after finding that there was a real and imminent risk of serious physical harm or death to the duo if they were identified. And that is
get
that.
Get the fuck out of here.
Because Angela didn't do shit. Like, she even like bought them the stupid cigarettes and alcohol they wanted, and they still all of a sudden just like did that to her.
Mm-mm. No more alcohol and cigarettes for you bitches.
Kids really ain't shit.
I know.
I don't like that they're like not releasing their names. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, their names should be released. They grown now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to know who to never run into.
Right. Like, I need to know who not to be nice to. That's some bullshit.
Day?
Yeah.
I think it's you. Close out the show.
I'm going. And it's really quick too. So, Andrew Lackey. Who knows? He broke into Charles Newman's home on October 31st, 2005. Charles at the time was 80 years old. Lackey was told by Charles's grandson that there was a vault in the house that contained a bunch of gold bars and cash. So he breaks into the house and Charles calls 911, and he can be heard on the call saying, "Don't do that. Leave me alone. What do you want?" And it is believed that Charles shot Andrew, and then Andrew stabbed him about 70 times and then shot him in the chest with his own gun. And from the time that the 911 call went through, all of that happened within 5 minutes because the police were there in 5 minutes. He had also had time to get in his car and drive to a corner store where he called an ambulance for the gunshot wound that he had. So, of course, the police are notified that this man's being treated in the hospital. So as soon as he's released, he's arrested. He ends up being charged with capital murder. Okay, these charges, they don't make sense to me. And I'll tell you why. So he was charged with capital murder during a burglary. He was also charged with capital murder during a robbery.
Because burglary, I think there's a difference between burglary and robbery. I think that's why.
I think
I've seen it somewhere.
But then he was also charged with burglary and robbery. On top of that, look as well.
Well, don't burglar and don't rob.
His lawyers during the trial argued that he had a mild form of autism, but they didn't like plead insanity at all. He ended
That's
up being
not, you're not insane if you have autism, though.
And they just made it a point, like they didn't try to do anything regarding that.
Okay, I googled real quick.
Okay, what is
so? Burglary occurs when someone intentionally enters a place without the consent of the person in lawful possession and with intent to steal or commit a felony. Robbery occurs when someone takes property from the person or presence of the owner by either using force or by threatening the imminent use of force.
So,
he burglared and robbed.
Makes sense. But still, it was just when I read that, I was like, huh? But he was sentenced to death for this crime. He attempted suicide, and he did try to appeal I think it was more of his lawyers trying to appeal. They were saying that he had Asperger's or something and that he should have been mentally evaluated, but he wasn't. So, but the appellate court was like, we don't give a fuck. He's still sentenced to death. So, So he stopped all of his appeals and he asked for a date to be set, and he was executed in Alabama by lethal injection on July 25th, 2013.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
You poor Charles. He's 80 years old. I didn't see that anything was said about anything more was said about his grandson. Because why did his grandson was like, yeah, he got all this shit. Like, huh? Makes zero sense to me, but
I don't know.
I didn't look further into it. Who I am as a person. So
this was the information I was given, and I'm running with it.
Reed, do we have any bonus material?
I'm gonna give another goofy of the week this week. Okay. Just super short. Just people are not bright. So a gentleman, Milton Hodges, he was trying to rob a Lowe's home improvement store. I don't know what the fuck he was in there trying to get. A drill, some goddamn lumber. I don't know. But anyway, he was trying to rob Lowe's, and when the police came, you know, he took off running. He jumped over a fence, and the fence he jumped over landed him into the Cypress Cove Nudist Resort and Spa. So everybody there is naked except Milton. So when the police came across the fence, everybody was like, gotta be him that y'all looking for, because he's the only person in clothes. We're all naked. So
we're all naked.
Ain't none of us got no damn clothes on. Milton over here with pants and a fucking hoodie. So there's that. Milton got arrested.
Wow.
I guess he'll watch what fences he jumps from now on.
Lord.
And I'm trying to figure out what nudist colony thing. I mean, nudist colony. What nudist beach is next to a fucking Lowe's?
I know. What like placement do we have going on there?
Yeah, it's wild.
Wow. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode of Murder Moses. See, that's one thing I was gonna talk about. I just felt like real ASMR-ish right there. And I was like, Murder Moses. Hope y'all enjoy. We'll see y'all. Look at Reed's face.
He is disgusted.
Y'all tell your friends to listen to us, follow us on Instagram.
Listen and we'll
see
us.
Y'all next week. The movie song. Bye.
Bye.